Good morning again. Two things that would be useful for you to have. One is if you have your Bibles open at Proverbs, we'll be jumping around a bit, but if you stay at chapters 1 and 2, that'll probably be the place you hang around the most. The second important thing for you to have is the service outline. It's on the back of the order of service, so I've only got one side of it, but it's on the back of that. If you don't have a pen, it may also be useful because I've left some blank spots. Emily has pens at the moment, so she'll just quickly walk up the middle and give out pens because we're going to be doing some writing a little bit later on especially. But before I start, let me just pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, please help me to speak clearly and faithfully. Please open our hearts and our minds so that we may hear your word and it may change us. Amen. In the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at a few books from the wisdom literature in the Bible. So basically, the wisdom literature is, if you open the middle of your Bible, it'll be in the Old Testament, and that's mostly the wisdom literature. It includes books like Job, Psalms, Song of Songs, Ecclesiastes, and the book we're looking at today, Proverbs. Proverbs is actually one of my favourite books in the Bible. I remember looking at it from a very young age. Probably not always for the right reasons, because of the funny sayings in there, but we'll have a look at that today. Now, the first question you may well be asking is, what is a proverb? I actually looked at a few definitions. From the Webster Dictionary, a proverb is a brief, popular saying. From another dictionary, a proverb is a short sentence of wisdom. But I think my favourite definition comes from the book Don Quixote, which says that a proverb is a short sentence drawn from long experience. A short sentence from long experience. I think that's a good summary of it. But let me give you a few examples. Proverbs are something that we'll find in our everyday lives. I'm sure you've come across them. And so as part of that, as my examples, I'm going to say the first part of a proverb, and I want you to finish off the proverb. So for the first one, a watched pot never boils. That's right. Second one, you can't have your cake and eat it too. That's right. Better late than never. Yep. Where there's smoke. That's right. And as I went through all these proverbs, these sort of secular proverbs, I also noticed quite a few of them actually had a Korean background, which I found interesting given the Koreans in our service. A lot of them have that sort of background. So the one I picked was A Journey of 1,000 Miles. Does anyone know the ending of this one? Begins with one step, starts with the first step. That's right. So as I'm sure most of you seem to know a good number of those proverbs, that's just to show you that's the sort of thing the proverb is. We use it in everyday life. And they're, of course, in the Bible. So they're basically just short advice on how to live your life based on past experience. So today, as we go through the book of Proverbs, I want to first give you some background to the book of Proverbs, why it was written. Secondly, give you some tips on how to read the Proverbs. They are a different style of literature to most of the Bible, so it's useful to know how to read them. Third, look at some of the main themes in the book of Proverbs. And then finally, see how Proverbs affects us today. So first, the background and why it was written. The answer to this question is actually contained pretty much in the first seven verses of the book. These first seven verses give us the title, the purpose, and the main theme of Proverbs. The first verse says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel." In case you don't know who Solomon was, he was king over Israel when it was at its most prosperous and its most wealthy. At the beginning of Solomon's reign, God actually told Solomon, he could have anything he wanted. God would give him something. And instead of choosing wealth or long life, Solomon chose wisdom. So God gave him wisdom, and he became the wisest man of all time. And we actually know from other parts of the Bible, in 1 Kings, that Solomon wrote over 3,000 proverbs. Most of the book of Proverbs is written by him, with the exception of a couple of final chapters in 1 and 2. No, sorry, a couple of final chapters written by two other people. The purpose of the book is found in the next five verses. And it says, this is the reason the book was written. for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young, that the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance, for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. Quite a dust jacket for a book, quite a ambitious aim for a book. So Proverbs is written so people become wise, they become more disciplined and be able to do what is right. In other words, the aim of the book is to help us to get and use wisdom in the decisions and activities of our daily lives. And in the process, our character will change. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word for wise or wisdom is actually also used to describe someone who is skilled at using their hands. So a carpenter or a pot maker or a clay maker. Wisdom is about practically using your knowledge. A wise person is not just someone who says wise things, they are skillful at living life to its fullest. How many of us want that? Living life to the full. It's what we all want, I think. We all want to know what's best for our lives. I think you can see that reflected in bookstores. I was in Borders the other day, and there's a huge lifestyle section filled with books on how to live your life to the full. Even the Christian bookstores have it. Just the other day, I got a catalogue from Coorong, and the biggest section in this catalogue was titled Living the Abundant Life. There were actually 6 full pages of books about how you can get an abundant life. Well, that's what Proverbs is promising. Read this book and you'll become wiser. It's aimed at everyone. Whether we are young or old, everyone can learn something from this book about how to get an abundant life. Doesn't that make you want to read it? I think it does. I really enjoyed reading it. Proverbs 1-7 is the key verse for the book. It is both the theme of the book and the key that unlocks the way to wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. In this verse, we see there are 2 types of people: those who fear the Lord and the fools who do not. The first lesson we must learn in this book of wisdom is to develop a proper view of God. This is what separates the Proverbs in the Bible from others. As I mentioned before, Proverbs are part of our everyday life. They have come from cultures around the world. But what makes the Proverbs in the Bible different is that they are to be understood in the context of fearing the Lord. Now you may ask, what does that mean? We tend to think of fear as something to be avoided. The fear of the Lord doesn't simply mean being afraid of God. It's the idea of being so in awe of God that you long to obey Him. When we truly fear the Lord, we will recognize that He is the Creator and we are the created. He is the Master and we are the servants. He is the Father and we are His children. When you realize that relationship, you realize that what He has to say is worth listening to. That He is the one with true wisdom and not us. One way you can tell that you fear God is when His opinion about our lives means more to us than others. Fearing God gets rid of the other fears that we worry about, because when all we care about is God. I love this quote from Oswald Chambers. The remarkable thing about fearing God is that when you fear God, you fear nothing else. Whereas if you do not fear God, you fear everything else. The fear of the Lord is a theme throughout this book. It's mentioned in the first section and in the last section and throughout it. Now, if you're like me, at this point you'll be eager to jump into the rest of the book and find out what it's about and see what it says about living. But before we do, I just want to give you some quick tips on how to read Proverbs, because they can be misleading and hurtful if used in the wrong way. Proverbs even says, like a thorn bush in a drunkard's hand is a proverb in the mouth of a fool. Ouch. So we need to make sure we use them correctly. The Bible has in it a large variety of writing styles. There are poetry in the Bible, there are laws, history, prophecy, songs, stories, and proverbs. And because each is a different form of writing, we need to take that into account when we read the proverbs. Otherwise, we may misunderstand it as we read it. Let me give you three examples of different writing styles in the Bible. Firstly, laws. A law is a command from God that we must obey. For example, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. The second example would be a promise from God. A promise is from God is a guarantee that it will always come true. For example, never again will all life be cut off by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. That was the promise to Noah. And then there are proverbs. A proverb is a catchy generalization about the way things generally turn out. Have a look at Proverbs 15, verse 1, which is on the screen. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. It works most of the time, but not in every situation. This is not a law from God that we must obey, nor is it a promise that God will turn away wrath if you just speak kindly. It's a proverb. Proverbs are good advice which help us live because they generally work. The second tip I want to give you when reading Proverbs is to read them in context. Now, this may sound obvious, but because for the most part they are short two-line statements, it's very easy to find one you like and take it out of context. Instead, you need to read the rest of the book of Proverbs and the Bible. One example is Proverbs 17, verse 8. A bribe is a charm to the one who gives it. Whatever he turns, he succeeds. If you took this proverb by itself, you could potentially say bribes are a good thing. But if you look at the rest of the book, you soon find another verse not long after which says, a wicked man accepts a bribe in secret to pervert the course of justice, clearly condemning bribes. The first verse, I think, is simply a cynical statement about life. Like the proverb, the grass is always greener on the other side. These proverbs seem to be portraying a good light on the topic, but we actually know they are critiquing the view. So with these tips in hand, let's look at the book of Proverbs. If you glance through the book, it may seem that it's just a random collection of sayings. However, there are a number of themes that run throughout the book. They include benefits of wisdom versus folly, avoiding adultery, training for parents, watching your words, work versus laziness, dealing with others, and the way of life and death. For a book written 3,000 years ago, there's some pretty relevant topics for today, I think. The first 9 chapters, which we read 2 chapters of just earlier, are in more of a poetry form and set as an introduction to wisdom. They give advice about being wise and avoiding folly. It's presented as a father giving advice to his son. This section has 2 main points: applying yourself to gaining wisdom and avoiding adulterous relationships. Proverbs encourages you to wisdom by pointing out the consequences of rejecting it. These men lie in wait for their own blood. They waylay only themselves. Such is the end of all who go after ill-gotten gain. It takes away the lives of those who get it. When I read that, it reminded me very much of the gangland murders in Melbourne. People ill-gotten gain and all the murders that happened. But chapters 1 to 9 also portray the benefits of gaining wisdom. It says, my son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. Now, this is a great time to remember the tips I spoke of earlier. Remember, these are not certain promises from God. This is not a formula that will give us power over the future, guaranteeing us long life and money. They are benefits that generally happen to those who follow these proverbs and are wise. The second point which this section brings up is the avoidance of adultery. It is stressed as a major problem here. Proverbs presents an adulterer as the opposite of wisdom. Both are seen to be women calling out for people to follow them. Clearly, adultery was a problem for the people of the day. And as I think as Bruce pointed out last week, it's clearly a problem still now. I'm sure each one of us knows or has been impacted by adultery. Statistics say at least 22% and up to 37% of men have committed adultery, and at least 14% and up to 22% of women. It is a massive problem for us today. Proverbs realizes this and stresses the importance of avoiding it, pointing out the horrible results. For the lips of an adulteress drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil, but in the end she is bitter as gall, sharp as a double-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps lead straight to the grave. If you are struggling with desires for someone other than your husband or wife, listen to Proverbs. Read it carefully as it points out the horrible consequences of adultery. We now move to the main section of Proverbs from chapters 10 to 31. This section has the little sayings that you probably most associate with Proverbs and like ones we looked at earlier. I'm going to look at four main themes that are brought up in this section and given an example of one proverb from each. So first, training for parents. As part of wisdom, Proverbs stresses the need for parents to discipline their children. It says, "He who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is careful to discipline him." Throughout the Bible, it speaks of the need to discipline. Many verses say that God disciplines us because he loves us. I don't want to go into now exactly how you should discipline your children, but what I want to stress is the need for correction and to set boundaries for children. It's out of love you do this. A friend from college was recently telling me about a youth group that he was part of when he was younger, and they used to lead. And there was a group of kids who used to go around and pick on smaller kids and even beat them up. He would constantly have to take them outside and sternly discipline them. Now they've grown up, he was telling me. And it's very encouraging to see that they love God and they show my friend great respect and love for the discipline he gave. What would have happened if there was no discipline? Watching your words. Another area Proverbs focuses on is how we speak. Like other parts of the Bible, Proverbs recognizes the power of words. One proverb says, "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." Do you find yourself snapping back at people, especially when you're tired or when they've done something to you? In the Bible, we're called to love one another and care for them. And we can do that by speaking gently to people to help turn away anger. Work versus laziness. Proverbs also looks at our work and comments on laziness. It says, "The sluggard craves and gets nothing, but the desires of the diligent are fully satisfied." I think this says two things about work. Firstly, God sees work as good. God gave work to us before sin happened, and he designed us to work. I think the Australian idea of work, where you just work to have a weekend, is not the right attitude. God calls us to work. The second thing this proverb says is that we shouldn't be lazy. Now, in today's society, you may think, how can anyone be lazy? If anything, we tend to work too much. But what about the work needed for your home? The work needed on your marriage, your family, the work needed to maintain friendships, the work needed for your church. Are you so busy with your regular work that you're lazy with these? And contentment. The final theme I want to show from Proverbs is contentment. It says, keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Do you struggle with contentment? Do you find yourself always wanting more? Thinking that if you just had one certain possession, you'd be happy. Contentment is not having everything you want, but wanting everything you already have. Contentment is not having everything you want, but wanting everything you already have. This is a great proverb if you struggle with materialism. So having done a quick survey of Proverbs, I finally want to focus on how we can use Proverbs in our daily lives. How can we use Proverbs to gain wisdom and live a full life? Well, I think we can do some of the things the ancient people used to do. Read, memorize, and repeat. Conveniently, there are 31 chapters of Proverbs. So why not read one chapter a day, each day of the month? Whatever the day of the month it is, doesn't matter if you've missed some, open it up and read that chapter. Then, once you've read the chapter, try and pick one that you think especially would help you in your life and memorize it and try to apply it to your day. Let's start now. I want everyone to choose one of those four proverbs we just looked at and write it down on your outline. Try to memorize that proverb this week and pray to God that he'll help you with it. Maybe you can talk to your Bible study or a close friend to help you keep accountable for it. For me, when I look at that list, I know the one I have to work on is watching my words. I may not snap at people in public, but I do find myself occasionally snapping at my family members. After all, they love me, right? But that's wrong. I should love Emily and my family as much as everyone else by treating them with respect and not snapping at them. I'm going to give you 2 minutes now just to reflect, grab one, and write it down on your sheet of paper. And once you've done that, I'll keep going. So if you want to grab a pen and write down one on your outline. To finish the sermon on Proverbs, I want to show how Jesus fulfills this idea of wisdom. Firstly, Jesus made a remarkable statement about himself in Matthew. Now one greater than Solomon is here. This was a bold statement to those who heard the words back then. Solomon for them was one of the greatest men to have ever lived. And Jesus was saying he was greater. Jesus is greater than Solomon because he is wisdom. He's not just wise. Colossians says, that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. To know and follow Jesus is to own the treasure of ultimate and eternal happiness. The command, get wisdom, in Proverbs, ultimately means come to Jesus. Finally, Proverbs teaches that there are only two paths you can take, wisdom or folly. There's no middle ground. Proverbs speak of people living on the way of life or the way of death. We read that in chapter 2. The way of life is wisdom and righteousness. the way of death is folly. Wisdom personified says, "For whoever finds me finds life and receives favour from the Lord, but whoever fails to find me harms himself. All who hate me love death." I think this is very similar to what Jesus said about himself in John. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Once you put your faith in Jesus, you will find life and you'll be on the path to wisdom. The call of wisdom, the call to choose life, not death, is the call throughout the Bible, and it finds its clearest example in Jesus. So if you haven't chosen Jesus, I encourage you to. And if you have chosen Jesus, if you are a Christian, if you have chosen life, that's fantastic. But I want to leave you with this challenge. Are you living a wise life? Are you listening to the Proverbs? Are you listening to Jesus? Are you walking down the path of life? Amen. Let me just pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us your wisdom through the book of Proverbs and through your Son, Jesus. Please help us this week as we take our proverb which we've selected. Please give us the strength to be able to remember it and to live it out. Amen.